Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Steve Harris and we're going to be visiting about History Corps. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Steve, before we talk about History Corps, we need to talk about you because people listening are going, do I know Steve Harris? So tell us a little bit about your Harris family.
Okay, well, I still have family in the area. In fact, I'm in Iowa right now. I live in Salida, Colorado. But I graduated from Atlantic High School in 1967. My younger brother, Larry, lives on the home place just north of Atlantic. My parents were Lyle and Delmo, which some of your older generation Atlantic people will remember.
Absolutely.
My older brother, Craig, lives down by Shenandoah. And I have moved to Salida decades ago and have been in Colorado for a good chunk of my adult life.
That's great. And the History Corps is at least one of the headquarters is in Colorado, and I'm guessing that maybe is how you got involved with this. Tell us, what is History Corps?
Okay. Several years, a decade or more ago, probably about 2007, there were several federal agencies like Park Service, Forest Service, BLM, who realized they had a huge backlog of old buildings that they may have inherited over the decades, old cabins or buildings of one kind or another that needed to either be let rot into the ground or fixed up. And at that time, they were starting to have their rental opportunities to rent some of these cabins that were out in the woods, but they weren't ready to be used. So they talked about forming a group, and it eventually evolved into what is called History Corps, or History Corps, as some people, or History Corps, as some people call
yes.
it. And then in 2009, they actually got the 501c3 not-for-profit up and running, and it's been operating ever since. They work with what they call their partner agencies, which can be a federal or a state or even a city entity that may have a building or a structure that needs to be saved from crumbling into the ground. It could be school districts. It needs to be some agency that has some public interest. We don't work typically on private buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It has to have some public benefit, and we go out and fix things up, and we do it with volunteers.
Yeah, I think when I, of course, was not familiar with History Corps, but it reminds me sort of like, and people may relate to, of course, a long time ago we started the Peace Corps. Now we have AmeriCorps, and then kind of like
yes.
Habitat for Humanity, that a really important
yes.
part of it is volunteer work.
That's right. It's actually modeled after the Roosevelt era CCC, the
mm-hmm.
Civilian Conservation Corps, which, of course, back then put young out of work men to work. But the AmeriCorps, they're kind of modeled after all of those youth group volunteer groups. And we have it's located out of our headquarters in Morrison, Colorado, which is just on the west side, a little town on the west side of Denver. They have a office back east also, and there's some administrative staff that are full-time year-round, and then there is the field staff, which is what I've been a part of for the last 10 years, that work seasonally from whenever, depending on where the projects are, whenever the building season can start, typically late March or April, maybe through October or November.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a seasonal, a seasonal employee for about 10 years with the Historic Corps on various projects working with volunteers.
Yes. As a project supervisor, where are some of the places that you've worked? I know it goes across the United States. I see you've been in 31 states
of them,
and territories. So,
yeah. Right, yeah. The Historic Corps has been all over the country and to Puerto Rico. I think that's our only, and of course Puerto Rico is part of the United States,
mm-hmm.
but that's the only non-state that we've worked in. I've been mostly in Colorado. Most of the projects are all over Colorado, but I've also been to Wyoming, California, Arizona, Alaska, and maybe that's it.
And so give us a couple of examples. You know, when you were in Alaska, what were you building, renovating, remodeling? Renovating.
Well, it can be restoration, renovation, or preservation.
Okay.
There's several different tacks you can take. The one in Ketchikan, Alaska, down on the panhandle, was real interesting because Historic Corps flies their staff to wherever they need to be. So we flew from Denver to Seattle and then caught the plane to Ketchikan. And then our project was in the Tongass National Forest, which is actually a rainforest, and it was a national wilderness area. And they have what they call shelters there. They're just kind of tree-sided log structures. They kind of reminded me of a bus stop. They're made out of logs with a wooden cedar shingle roof. And a giant windstorm had come through decades ago and blown down some huge trees that had crushed this structure. So the Forest Service had gone out and removed the trees, and then they needed a crew to rebuild the log structures, and that's what we did. And it was a 3.5-hour boat ride to get to the job site from Ketchikan. So they'd take us out on a boat ride on a Monday and then maybe come back on a Saturday to pick us up. We would go out there and camp and had our supplies, tools and supplies, to last for 5 or 6 days, and then they'd bring us back for a 2-day back in town, and then we'd go out again. We did that for a month, four weeks, going back and forth.
That sounds like that has to be one of the more unusual locations and situations.
Yeah.
But there are others where you camp also, are there not?
Yeah. A lot of them are camps. Every once in a while, there's one where there might be, you know, enough building. Let's say for example, it's a Forest Service project, and they have some old cabins of maybe 3 or 4 cabins, and you're working on one, and you might be staying in the others if they're livable. Quite often, people are able to. There's all different scenarios. You can show up with your RV and your camper. I often sleep in the back. I have my back of my pickup truck with a topper on it, and I sleep in the back there or pitch a tent. So it can be any number of situations. A few of them, you have to hike up the one I'm familiar with. You hike 7 miles to the campsite to carry in all your gear. They'll have a packed mule train that might carry your supplies and your tools. So you're 7 miles into the wilderness area. There's been some that have used helicopters to get our supplies, and we've never helicoptered a crew in, but we've helicoptered in supplies. So it can be a whole different kind of scenario.
Sounds like an adventure, whatever it is, a new adventure, a new experience.
Yeah, and anybody can sign on. You know, all you have to do is go to historiccorps.org. The only stipulation is you have to be 14 years or older, and I think from 14 to like 18 you have to be with a parent. But beyond that, we have lots of retired folks. The oldest I think I've had is an 80-year-old gentleman who has come to a number of projects. The only expense for the volunteers is to get themselves to the project. We provide the food, we provide the tools. You need to bring your own camping gear or whatever the situation requires. Your own bedding maybe, but getting yourself to the project and getting yourself home is really the only expense for the volunteers. Everything else is provided.
Now, when you're talking about these projects, it seems like to me that you better have some kinds of skills that pertain to whatever you're going to be working on. How much skill does a person have to volunteer?
None. part of our whole concept is that we will train people, or, you know, I don't even know if training is the right word, people who have an interest in doing, and quite often we're doing traditional, say, log working. You know, we'll be working with an axe and a draw knife. Usually there's a chainsaw on the job site, too, and there are certain people who are qualified or allowed to run the chainsaw. But it can be masonry work, it can be window glazing, a lot of window repair goes on, interior trim, siding, log work, just any number of things, and you can show up with absolutely no experience, and we will train you in whatever aspect you're willing to do. And they actually have a position where we always have a camp cook, of course. The store corps provides the food and the cooking, but there's a position where you can sign on to be the cook's helper. And you can, if you want to do the camp experience and see the site, you don't have to do the work. You can spend your day helping prep for the meals.
All right.
So there's all kinds of opportunities.
And if you go to the website, that's Historic Corps, HistoriCorps.org, you can see a list of the projects that are still planned for 2020 and get signed up, make your application, and maybe you get to work with Steve, or if not, a whole lot of other wonderful people that are on this project. We want to thank you very much, Steve Harris, for visiting with us.
You're welcome.
And also for the work you do.
Okay, and well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Until next time, here's a thought from a number of authors. New ideas must use old buildings.